Thank you so much for joining Dental Marketing Theory, a podcast by Gary Bird. In today's episode, Gary talks with Dr. Warda Inham, CEO of Overjet. Gary and Dr. Warda discuss AI in dentistry and how it helps provide the best patient care and where AI is heading within the dental industry. As always, please make sure to like, subscribe, share, and leave a comment, as all of those things really help to get the word out about Dental Marketing Theory. Hope you enjoyed today's show.
All right, we are live for another episode of Dental Marketing Theory. Thanks so much for tuning in. But before we go any further, do me a favor. Go and leave a quick 5-star review. We get thousands and thousands of viewers, but we only have like 100 reviews and we need more of those. It doesn't matter what platform you're on, whether you're on Spotify or YouTube or any of the platforms, Apple Podcast, you can just go leave a quick review. It takes you just seconds. And I know you're not doing it right now. I know you're listening to this and you're not doing it. So please go do that for me. And today I am super, super excited because I get the privilege to talk to awesome people. That's my job, is to talk to awesome people. And I have Dr. Warda here. She's from Overjet and they have an amazing company. Now I'm going to be really honest. I'm not clinical, so I don't fully understand like the value that they bring to the table. But here's the thing I do know. I talk to dentists all the time that talk about how awesome your company is and all the awesome things that you're doing in the space. And so I'm excited today to just be curious about what you guys bring to the table. So I'd love for you to just do a quick introduction of who your company is and what you guys are tackling in the space.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary, for having me here and excited to be here at Overjet. We're solving a fundamental problem in dentistry, and the problem is your dental data, which is radiographs, notes, etc., is unstructured. That means computers cannot analyze it, and that's what we help do, is make computers to be able to analyze that information. And once you can, then you can do a lot with it. And the question is, like, what could you do with it of value? The first thing that comes to people's mind is you can help support dentists in their diagnoses to better to perform a better diagnosis, as well as communication with the patients. And that's one of the things that Overjet does. But the way to think about it is giving an ability to any organization to analyze that information, find what's important in that information, and then presenting that information in the right way, such that the organization performs better, but also the patients benefit from the outcomes and the insights given to the providers as well.
That's great. So just explain to me now, like, the old way of doing it. So Overjet is like the new way of doing it. What's the old way of doing it? And why is that clunky? Why is that hard to deal with?
I think it's just the fact that, you know, dentists do so much, right? Dentists are radiologists, they're surgeons, they're your business people. So the dentists are basically, and they have to deal with patients. So they're doing some, you know, just patient communication, et cetera, as well. And having technology that can take off stuff that they can just take off their plate, and where they can just more focus on patient communication, patient care, where you really need that human touch. You really need that doctor to help perform the right operations, to help communicate with the patients. And then the rest of the stuff, where it comes to collection of the information, presenting the information in the right way, which a lot of the times, you know, hygienist health support can be done in such a way that dentists can do their job better. Mm. So without Overjet, what you're doing is the dentist is not only looking at the information, but they're trying to provide a comprehensive treatment plan. For example, you know, this technology allows them to really take that piece and simplify it, such that they can be the final decision makers and communicate that with the patient. So spending more time with the patients, being able to look at the tougher issues rather than just doing the basic task again and
the
again.
Processing, yeah, because there's a lot of information out there, but it's the processing of the information that takes time. We actually use a project management software called ClickUp, and one of the things that they say is if you use our platform, we'll save you one day a week worth of time, which is amazing marketing, right? And I don't know if it saves a full day or a couple hours, but because we use it, it does save us a lot of time. How much time will this collectively save the doctor and the team Do you know those numbers?
So the thing here is, depending on like what you use. So you know, when we talk about like you know, the current Overjet software that is in use right now, a lot of it has to do with actually providing comprehensive diagnosis and comprehensive care, and then communicating with the patient more effectively, such that the patient accept the treatments that the dentist is recommending. So I think the way to think about it is, yes, you have some you know, productivity increase or time not being spent on these, but the gain that you're getting from increase in treatment acceptance rates, increase in the patient trust, and being able to provide that comprehensive diagnosis is much more significant, because you know, that's the
so like how much, like what are we talking about? Do you have percentages on that?
So it really varies depending on practice to practice or where they stand. But we have had, you know, cases where even we've done like 100% increase at times, you know, of where the baseline was. So it really does depend. And I think that's where, you know, every practice can see where, you know, where do they stand in their case acceptance rate and the complete diagnosis, et cetera. And there's an opportunity here to actually get to that, the complete capture of this value.
That's awesome. Now, you said one of the things you said there was that like most offices, the hygienist is capturing a lot of this information right now. And I know in the dental industry, the biggest shortage is actually in hygienists. Those are the hardest people to land right now. So how does Overjet make this the hygienist job simpler? And then what does that mean I have to hire less people now?
So I think it makes, I would say, rather less people, it's making it more efficient for everyone. So, you know, for example, simple things, right? When hygienist collects, for example, x-rays, then they go and put the x-rays on that FMX template in the right orientation, and or you know, if it is, the x-ray has been taken upside down, they're rotated, you know, and when the dentist comes in, they present that information to the dentist in such a way that they can consume it more effectively. In this case, the software does take care of that manual manipulations that are needed, you know, if any filters need to be put in place, that can happen more automatically. All the annotations are already done, so when the dentist walks in, it helps in that communication as well, because a lot of times the hygienists are seeing stuff, because of course they're diagnosing along with the dentist. Yeah. Yeah. But they sometimes do not feel confident enough to state what they're seeing, and when they see that their intuition is similar to what the software is showing as well, they're much more confident. And especially when it comes to procedures like scaling and root planing, which hygienists are very involved in the diagnosis piece of it as well, this helps quantify bone levels, for example, and really solidify that diagnosis in such a way that the hygienist is very confident, as well as then the dentist can make the right decision as well. And that way, I think it improves that communication between the hygienist and the dentist, as well as the communication between the hygienist and the patient as well, improving that patient experience, but also improving, as the patient experience improves, improving the hygienist experience as well. So I would say here, you know, the practices which are utilizing Overjet software, one of the things that key things that comes to our to us as a feedback is the fact that hygienists are one of the biggest champions of the software as well. But also they're more excited about their jobs. They're more excited about what they're doing.
They get to do the stuff they actually signed up to do. Because I'll give you a good example of this. Like in marketing, we always say, hey, you got to get more Google reviews. And people go, okay. And they go to the front desk person, or they go to the hygienist, or they go to somebody in the office, and they say, you need to sign up more Google reviews. And no one ever wants to do it, because it's not part of our job, right? Like no one got into dentistry so they can ask for Google reviews. So no one's ever excited to do it. And I feel like a lot of like the hygienist job, and even some of the dentist job, that's not really what they signed up to do. And it's a lot of busy work that you could, if you could take off their plate, it allows them to elevate and do the things they really love to do all day long. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And be more confident in their everyday, which helps them, you know, be more fulfilled in their jobs as well.
That's awesome. I love that. I love it when technology is able to free people up to do the things that they love to do. So how does it impact the patient? So if I'm a patient going into the office, number one, am I going to realize that they use Overjet or not? Or is it such a seamless transition that it's not something that I'll notice, but I notice it's less friction there.
So here, I think at least the groups that are utilizing Overjet actually bring it front and center, and not because they feel that the patient needs to know it. It is because they feel that the patient is more confident as well in the diagnosis that they're providing. So where it comes in is when the dentist, the patient is in the chair and the dentist has is communicating with the patient what they see. So for example, they might say, hey, here's a caries lesion on tooth number 30, for example. What the patient is seeing is Overjet's annotations on that tooth. And now they're not seeing a gray, white, black x-ray. They're seeing, you know, annotations come to life, right? Like a red caries lesion, which has grown beyond the enamel region, for example. And that is like a very visual depiction that they can understand. And they can see, you know, from past x-rays, how that has gotten even bigger. So rather than, you know, dentists teaching them about radiolucencies and what that means, they can actually see like there's annotation, like the... Yeah, it just shows up, and that helps in the communication. And for them as well, you know, it's a way of telling the patient that they're investing in their health and utilizing technology to provide better oral care to the patients as well. So I think at least the customers right now and the DSOs that are utilizing Overjet software are utilizing it as a tool to show to the patient that they really care about their oral health, and that's why they're investing in these technologies, but also a way for them to communicate more effectively, and the result of it is better treatment acceptance rates.
Yeah, that's awesome. So here's a question. You might not have the answer for it yet, and that's okay. And I'm just very curious. So like, we get new tools in the dental office, and then we have to figure out how to market them to the patient so the patients understand them, right? And they want them. And so like, as an example, we used to just have basic x-rays, but then we got the cameras that you would go in the mouth and you could actually show them, like, look at your cavity, where before it was just a little black dot. Then now you see this like gross thing that you want to fix, right? And so how do you, is there a way yet, and there may not be, but is there a way yet that we can start marketing Overjet to the public of like, we're going to be able to help you with this at the end result? Have you guys got that far yet, or are we not there yet?
No, so I think you nailed it with that example of the intraoral cameras. That's exactly what the technology kind of is doing as well. It's giving this this information to the patient, which is which they don't normally understand. So if you know, with intraoral cameras, it might be something like a fracture tooth, for example, right? Like they don't see it in the x-rays. They don't, like, when the dentist tells them, even if they understand what a fracture tooth will be, they can't see it.
Yeah, it doesn't
hurt. They don't believe it. And yeah, it doesn't make sense. Why would they treat it? But when they see it actually on the tooth, they're like, okay, there's something going on. It's exactly similar, but it's on the x-rays, for example. So very similar technology. And I think here, at least most of the practices that are utilizing it are utilizing it in the same way as well and communicating with the patient same way as they were utilizing the x-rays, intro photos for. Right now, I don't think anybody is like really, you know, but they're putting it on LinkedIn. They're putting it on, yeah, you know, on their marketing material now.
But we're still working on that. It's so new that we're trying to figure out how to like position, because I'm thinking in my head, like, how would I position this towards the patient? Because like, even when like same day crowns came out, dentists really struggled to like, how do I market this? Because it's like same day crowns to me as the patient, I'm like, I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? But what means is you can come in for your dental appointment and leave in the same day with the stuff that you need. Yeah. You don't have to come back multiple times. And that has to be explained to people. Or like when Invisalign came out, patients had no idea that you could straighten your teeth without having metal on it. Even when you showed them the things, people just thought they were retainers. Like there had to be a learning curve to, so I'm fascinated by that. Like that, cause that's the future, is you're out there creating this amazing products for people to use and the doctors to use, and you have to market to them, right? Cause you got to get the doctors bought in first. Doctors don't get it bought in. No one's going to use it. But then once the doctors are bought in, then the next level is like, okay, now how do we help them market this to their patients? So I think that's really exciting.
No, and here, Gary, I think you're right. And here, at least also the DSO marketing teams are very excited about it as well. And they're figuring out, you know, along with us, like a lot of the people that we work with are true partners. So they really are trying to figure out, how do I even utilize it further, which is great for us, like means you know, better, more value for our customers, and we're working with them, with our marketing teams, to really solve some of these challenges as well.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've heard a lot of times, and I'm sure you've heard it too, is like the DSOs are so bad because they take advantage. The DSOs are like these businesses that take advantage of the doctors who take advantage of the patients, right? And they do all this unnecessary treatment and those kind of things. And obviously, I'm sure that's happened before, right? But it's also happened at single practices before too. But with your technology, I think it kind of removes some of that, right? Like, you can now look at it and say, no, we're actually treating all the things that we're supposed to be treating. Do DSOs roll up that information to be able to look at it universally? Like, we're doing the normal standard treatment that we're supposed to be doing on these patients?
Yeah. And most DSO leaders that we interact with, I think, you know, when DSO started, I think, you know, like any new, even in any new technology, like you have different use cases that develop, and then people figure out how to use it in the best possible way. Similarly, the DSO business model came about, of course, there was less oversight and all that stuff that happened, which resulted in a lot of misuse as well, or overutilization, etc. Here, at least for now, and you probably are as familiar with industry, I think a lot has changed. The DSOs, it's not
the wild, wild west anymore.
Exactly. So it's and here they have their compliance teams, they have their auditors, even they're making sure that the right treatments are happening, and they want to do the right thing. Yeah. Now the question is, can you really do the right thing if you're not measuring clinical performance? And that's the real question to be answered here. And that's what Overjet technology helps you do, is really to measure clinical performance. And once you can, then you can actually do the right thing. And here it is about are the right treatments being done in my practices? Are the right protocols being followed in my practices? Protocols we've set for our teams and what we've trained them on, are those being followed, et cetera, as well? So there is a lot of, and we do know, like, DSOs are here to support these practices, and that's what their goal is. They're dental support organizations,
yeah.
And they feel that this is a way for them to support their practices as well, and of course ensure a minimum standard of care that exists.
Word I was looking for, minimum standard of care. Because let's be honest, I know I feel the same way you do about DSOs. There's probably 80-90% of them are great. There's the outliers that maybe aren't so great, but that's the same as true for individual practices. But if you go online and you read the comments about DSOs from the solo practitioners, it's not great about DSOs, right? There's a lot of negativity. And what I'm wondering is with Overjet, with that minimal clinical benchmark that you're setting, I feel like that's going to bring more clinicians into the idea that, hey, this is good. They are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. And for any kind of business to really scale, right? Like, say if you owned a Starbucks, right? And you wanted to own another Starbucks, and make this into a, I don't even know how many Starbucks there are, like thousands of Starbucks.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do that, you would need standard operating procedures. You would need every Starbucks to operate to at least a certain level, etc. And then there might be some people who are great with the customers, and others might be okay. But you would say, okay, this is the minimum bar that we need to make sure everything happens. And the way they can do it is gather that information, like take surveys, like figure out like what's really happening. And I would say this is a tool like that, where it allows you to collect that information. But actually, in a practice, it doesn't matter if you smile. Okay, it doesn't matter if you smile or not. But really, what matters is, are you providing the right care to the patients or not?
Yeah.
And you have no way of knowing, because surveys don't tell you this. Because if you read, for example, Yelp reviews on practices or Google reviews, what you'll see is, okay, the patient, it's like how they were treated in the front office, or if they got like a lip balm or not, or stuff like that, that they actually address in those reviews. But they're not educated enough about oral health to say what was the right treatment recommended, or what was the quality of the restoration. Did it have an open margin, for example? Yeah. And that's where the technology can really come in and provide a way to benchmark clinical performance of practices to help improve practices, right? Like,
that's awesome.
Even if you're, yeah, if you're running a business, like, just knowing what's happening is better than not knowing. And once you know, then you can actually move in the right direction as well.
Yeah, I think one thing that I learned in business, someone told me this one time, is that, Gary, every business has closets that are dirty, right? We all do. And just because we don't open the closet doesn't mean that there's not a mess there. We can ignore it if we want, but there's still a mess there. And then when you open it, you got to clean up the mess once you see it, right? And so I think that people realize that there are these areas in the practice that we don't know what's going on. It is invisible to us. And the other great point that you made there too is that the patients don't know. I'll tell you a funny story. I once had a doctor, I had a team member of a doctor reach out to me and say, "Hey, Gary, will you put this before and after smile on our website? We just got done with this patient." And I said, "Great." And I looked at it and I said, "This looks great. Yeah, we'll put it up for you. No problem." And the doctor called me so upset. And he said, "Take that off my website right now, Gary." And I was like, "Okay, no problem. What's wrong with it?" And he said, "Look at it. It's a horrible before. Like, look at it after. The margins aren't right. The doctor didn't do a good job." And I said, "I couldn't tell. Like, it looks, it looks like they have a beautiful smile to me," right? So the patient, the quality or what success is totally different for a doctor than it is for a patient. It's totally different. And so there's different bars that we're trying to hit. And it sounds like you guys are helping bridge that gap so that way the clinicians can get what they need and have that bar. But then also the people who are non-dental can also help them along the way hit those bars or those benchmarks as well.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So now let's talk through, I want to talk through how do you approach the people out there? Like, if I'm a single practitioner, are people using Overjet for one location, or is that not something that people are doing yet?
So those would be, there are, people or practices utilizing it at single location as well. Those are usually people just signing up on our website. We're not targeting them directly. However, they've probably heard about us somewhere or read something about us, and then they reach out. So we do have, and there are a lot of, single practice owners like signing up on our website every day.
Got it. And then so when somebody who goes to your website and says, "You know what, I'm not going to do this," what's like the biggest objective that you're facing with dentists when they're first learning about your product?
I think if they've come all the way to our website and has like set up a demo with us, I think they've convinced themselves that they want the technology. So I don't think we're having, the conversion is pretty good.
So if I'm a dentist and I learn actually what you guys provide, dentists are very quick to adapt it.
Exactly. So I think this is, I think the dentists see the value of it very quickly. Even if a lot of times it might be, it's for my associate in the practice, like one single owner or one practice owner, where it might be for their associates, or it might be that they're more senior and they feel that, there will be a transition happening soon, etc. There are many reasons why the different people are adopting the technology, and we're figuring out all the different reasons why they are. But it's also because they feel like they can communicate more effectively, or they're hearing that they can actually improve that communication piece of it, which not every dentist is good at, right? Like, that's, some are and they do really well, and others might not be. So there are many reasons that they're adopting it. But once they're there and they've come organically onto the website, like, they're pretty much, going to close.
They're close themselves, yeah, because it's cool to them, right? It's going to help them. So from your guys' product, like, what's the market saturation look like? Like, how far into the market are you? And then when do you think this will be just like normal, like just every dental office has an X-ray, right? So when will Overjet be in every office? Is this like 20 years, 5 years, or just, and I know you're kind of guessing, you don't really know the future, but just what's your projection on that?
So I think right now we're definitely in that early adopter stage, right? So people who are like fascinated by new technology and want to try new things. Will it be, even digital X-rays are not 100% right now,
will
we ever get the last, like the 20 to 30%? That's the harder piece. But I think, the speed with which this is getting adopted, and just in general as well, I think, you know, in the next, like, definitely in the next 4 to 5 years, we'll see it as the norm. And then, you know, a new technology comes in, and this becomes, like, you know, something that everybody just has, similar to...
Like a telephone. Everybody has a telephone. But that's an interesting point, that not even everybody has digital yet, and we're still working through that. And digital has been around for a while, digital x-rays and having a digit non... I've even seen offices that still have physical charts, right? So that's going to take
a lot,
time.
Yeah. When we see, say, insurance data, it's like 30% of the claims coming in have not being sent digitally. So we're still like not 100% here.
All right, I'm going to ask you a hard question. Do insurance companies love Overjet, or do they hate Overjet?
So insurance companies love Overjet, and they love Overjet because it improves their review process, right? So they're reviewing claims, they're reviewing it manually, and it reduces their costs, basically. So they can review it more automatically, but also consistently and faster. And that helps the providers as well, because now they're not, they're getting, a consistent review. So not dependent on which reviewer is reviewing their claim, as well as that they can get all the SLAs met. Because a lot of times what happens is, you know, the SLA... So here, SLA would be like the time it takes for the insurance company to pay the claim out, or even give a response, give an EOB out. It might be longer than a few weeks sometimes. And what happens is the provider might have to resubmit their information and still wait for it. But you know, it's just in the queue. It's getting there. So being able to process claims much faster, more accurately, more consistently is great on both sides, and it helps them run their operations more efficiently as well.
So do you end up getting more treatment though? So they're paying out more treatment, right? But is it because it's preventing treatment faster that they like it also? Or is it, so it's being more preventative, yeah, more preventative care than the bigger treatment?
It's about doing the right treatments, right? Like, you know, and you know, in dentistry, if you don't do the right treatment at the right time, it's all, like, dental disease doesn't go away, so it's going to
get worse and more expensive.
So exactly. So why wait if you can actually do the treatment? Of course, like, there are times when you want to wait and really see how it progresses as well. So if it's a small incipient caries lesion, for example, but you know, once you know that it's disease and it's going to spread, it's better to treat it.
Got it. And so, where do you think? I want to kind of change gears on you. So, like, why did you think about getting into this particular business? Like, how did you end up in this side of the market?
Yeah, so previously I was working in the medical side of things, working on MRI images in a company called QBio. And here we basically, you know, for me, it was more personal. I was a patient. I changed my dentist and got a treatment plan, which was very different than what I had received before. And that got me interested in dental diagnosis and why was this happening and who was basically right and trying to figure this out. And the more I read about the field, the whole system itself, and I realized that there's so much to do. Like right now we're, you know, talking about just basic stuff, but there's a lot of issues with access to care, cost of care, etc., that we can help, you know, over time help resolve as well. So it's a fascinating field in its own, and got me enough interested that I basically decided to leave my job and then start shadowing dentists and learning more about dentistry and what can we do here.
Wow, that's awesome. And then when did the light go off? Like, I need to start a business in this. Like, this is where the opportunity is at.
So this was early 2018 when I started spending more time on dentistry than I was spending on MRI data. I realized that I had to quit and like do this properly, right? Like, I do believe in whatever you do, you want to do it as good as you can. So I left. Overjet did not start till August. So it as a company on its own, but it was learning more about the field, learning more about diagnosis, learning more about the industry, and really seeing what we could do to help improve the industry and help providers and payers like provide better care.
That's great. And then where do you think this is going to go? How far are we going to go in the next 5, 10, 15 years? where do you think things are going to go? Like if where people aren't thinking yet. So I know we see the technology, we see how it can improve life. We can see we got to use it more, but what's the future look like?
So I think just in general, like, you know, overages AI is going to impact every piece of the puzzle, right? So, you know, we're talking about the diagnosis, the treatment planning, the treatment acceptance right now, which is one small piece of it. But there is no reason why this can not help in improving the scheduling, for example, depending on what the treatments need to take place, help in providing more guided surgeries, for example. So there's a lot to be done here. And I think for us, you know, it is about utilizing the technology in such a way that we can help patient care and experience and whatever form it takes to make that happen, Overjet, you know, will be working on and really helping solve.
So like, give me the Jetsons though, right? You remember the show Jetsons, like how they had like the crazy stuff that would bring in the food and it was just like, man, that's crazy. They have a robot that brings in food. Like what's the Jetsons future look like potentially? And I'm not saying maybe it doesn't happen, but where's your brain at and looking into the future?
So I think, you know, very quickly where it gets to is like more robotics getting involved and, you know, more automation happening across, whether it's the diagnosis piece of it or the treatment piece of it. And we're already seeing, you know, the you know, with Neosys and other companies kind of playing their part in that journey. But I would say, you know, that future is going to happen. It's when, and these technologies are going to enable that future. That's more of like what you can picture probably. I would say what will have the most impact is actually trying to move the industry towards more lower cost, value-based care kind of areas, which might not seem as sexy as Jetsons, but I think will have a lot of impact on the industry itself and where we move away from just doing treatments, but rather move towards trying to keep patients healthy. And that's where, you know, we're very excited about as well. And harder to imagine, you know, in terms of like cool technology, but it's going to have the most impact on patient care.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just did a podcast yesterday with a dentist and he has a couple, he has quite a few offices and some of them are Medicaid and he's taking a lot of that technology that he has in his other offices over to his Medicaid office and proving that he can do quality care faster for them. And yes, you have to spend more money up front for the technology, but he's like, I can produce more dentistry and give more quality dentistry to more people. And it was really cool to hear him break that down. And I feel like you are creating something that's going to allow more people to have treatment over time. I think that's huge. And just more healthy people overall, that just is a win-win-win for everybody. Now, one thing that I wanted to ask you, so can you kind of explain the AI side of things? Because I know in every industry, AI is always thrown around, right? So sometimes people hear AI and they think of like robots following us around and you know, doing crazy things. Some people think of AI as like people like reading thoughts or like this machine that's self-thinking, that's carrying out things. Like, explain to me what AI means to you guys at Overjet and what that actually means.
Yeah, so I think you know, AI isn't a concept that we're not familiar with, right? And we might not be familiar with that AI is being utilized in all these use cases, but I think probably even today you've interacted with AI, you know, probably 100 times today. It was when you probably searched on Google, you were using AI was being used in the background. Any like major company is utilizing AI, whether it's again your Facebook, you know, the picture recommendation that was, you know, or picture tagging that was done, or Netflix and was giving you recommendations. That's all AI. If you're wearing if you have a phone, you probably have familiar with Siri or Alexa. That's all AI. You know, different kinds of AI. It might be the recommendation engines, or it might be natural language processing, or it might be computer vision, depending on what it's doing. But right now, I think AI is something that's being utilized everywhere. And the concept is simple, right? It's machines demonstrating intelligence in a way. And here, you know, what is real intelligence? And we can go deeper into those pictures. But generally, what we are talking about in these cases is, you know, where you're creating these machine learning models, which are learning from examples, that are learning from data and just getting better over time, rather than you coding everything. So, you know, just basic software here, you know, where you basically tell the machine to do exactly what you want it to do. And here in this case, you create a model that can just learn from examples itself, kind of mimicking how human brain work. But I think it's like a very simplification of that, right? Brains are very complicated. But this is kind of like a mimicking of that kind of learning, the way we learn, you know, how to read or alphabet, etc., by seeing examples and repeating it. Here, the case is you need to see a lot of examples, so that's why it's so data heavy. But that's what it is. But it just in general, I think, and yes, it could enable, you know, robots as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, like did you see Tesla's robot that they're coming out with? The AI bot.
No, I haven't seen Tesla's robot. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they have like a pictures of it. You know, Elon Musk is like a genius marketer, so he always talks about stuff way before they have it ready. But it's like a person robot. Now he did say that he's scared of AI and what it can potentially become. Do you feel the same way about AI, or do you just feel like it's whatever? It's just like anything else. People can use anything for good or bad.
Yeah, so I think I'm on the second camp, and I've, you know, worked on robotics and computer vision before, continue to follow the trends here. I think we are a little away from that as well. Of course, like especially with GPT-3 and what's happening. I don't know if you've seen DALL-E images. It's pretty cool stuff now. Like I think, but of course you're talking about very, very huge models that have, you know, very big companies can develop because it requires a lot of resources as well. But even in a DALL-E system, which if you haven't looked at it, I would you should definitely Google it. It's kind of creating.
What does it say again for me?
DALL-E, so DALL-E. So this is OpenAI's model around creation of images. So, you know, for example, Gary, you can say, I want an image of a dog flying on an eagle, right? And it creates that dog flying on an eagle, which doesn't exist. So that's pretty cool, right? If you can actually imagine it. But if you like look closely, the hand of the dog might not be, you know, like as good as it, you know, like a real image might be. So you might be able to see some, and it might generate like 100 of them and 2 might be good. So we're still like, you know, that technology is pretty cool and what we can enable is pretty cool, but I think we're still a little
bit. It's going to get better, right? That technology is the cool part about that technology is it's not dead and just going to, or static and going to stay there. That's going to keep getting better and better and better, right?
It is, but, you know, that technology has also been generated from all of internet's data, right? Like, you took a GPT-3, GPT-3 was built from like almost all of internet. So how do you actually improve it across everything? You know, the way you improve it is like by giving it the right examples. So you'd be like, okay, no, dog doesn't look like this or something like that, right? And you would give the right examples, but like, how do you actually do it across all these examples, etc. too? And that's where it will get very interesting. Like, and I think there'll be a lot of work that will happen, but it's not going to be as like, just like a linear path, right? Like, you know, where do you get more information from and how do you actually train these better? We're still in the early stages there. You know, I think this, like, but it's going in the right direction, right? Like, being able to create something like this is pretty cool. Helping, you know, that, you know, and you can't probably imagine a lot of examples, but like, say, utilizing it for coding is another way. Like, can you help write code better? There's a lot of interesting stuff that's going to happen. Hopefully, you know, and that's why companies like us exist as well. Like, you can actually use that technology for better. Of course, it's going to be misused as well, like any other technology. But, you know, hopefully we can use it in the right way and regulate it in the right way, etc. when it needs to, such that we can, you know, just work on in enhancing what humanity can do rather than disrupting it.
Yeah, that's awesome. What is there any questions that I didn't ask you that I should have?
No, I think, you know, yeah.
Did I cover it? I did good. Yay, that's awesome. Yeah. if people want to learn more about Overjet, how can they connect with you?
So overjet.com is our website, which you can go and you know, if you have a practice or multiple practices, do sign up for a demo. You can also, I'm also, you know, pretty active on LinkedIn, that you can, you know, connect me with my first and last name there. But yeah, or that overjet.ai or .com as well. So many ways of reaching out if you're interested in what we're doing.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming on. You did a great job today.
Well, thank you, Gary.
Thanks so much for watching today. If you'd like to learn more about SMC or the guests that you listen to, please visit us at smcnational.com.